Once again, the thing we've been talking about and thinking about tonight is this. It's the fact that our spouse, whether we like it or not, has burdens, has responsibilities, have things in their life that weigh them down. And the question for us tonight is, what are we going to do about it? What's our response supposed to be to the things that do, that weigh on them? Because when we get this answered right, when we say, and I don't think this will be a shocker when I say this, that we're to help each other carry each other's loads, that something happens relationally that you cannot have until this question is answered and lived out in the right way. So we just want to take just a few minutes and take a look, and let's almost like an exercise here tonight of this. Is, I don't know about you, but I think about my load, my wagon, all the time of all the things I have to do. They fill my calendar and a lot of times my heart and my head. Tonight I want to just take a look and think through and put ourselves in our spouse's shoes, that they have a load. And I want to do that by dividing it out in a couple of categories. The first one is they have a vocational load. They have a vocational load. Everybody in this room has a job, whether they get paid for it or not. And the job, just think about this, all that comes with the burden of a job, because when you start thinking about it, making it really elementary, the reason we have a job is so we have money, and so we have homes, and so we have college for our kids, and all this is a huge burden on your spouse. They think about this. And then there's all the details and the burden of the job, things that they just don't like to do, or meetings they have to get ready for, or people that they have to deal with. They've got a load. What is your spouse's vocational load? What is your spouse's job, and what weighs on them? I think it's just a good thing for us to think about. The second one is this, is they have a relational load. Your spouse is surrounded by relationships. That they've got relationships, and in those relationships, in part or in full, those people can drain on them. We'll start with the easy one. Kids. Kids are great. They're our heart, aren't they? But they're not exactly low maintenance. They have all these things to do, and we have to worry about everything from changing diapers to attitudes. And if you're a Christian, you think, oh, I've got to point them toward God. That's a huge, huge thing to think about, a huge burden. And then let's just face it, going to baseball practice 24.5 times a week, that's no fun. That's got a burden. Your spouse has a relational burdens. They have different people in their life, whether it's neighbors or school teachers or it's those people in life. Maybe it's in-laws. My wife would say, if she was here, my dad, when he comes over to our house, he's like OSHA. That's going to kill him, and that's going to kill him, and that's going to kill him, and guess whose fault it's going to be? It's going to be yours. I'm not kidding. Like, he puts up little tape and stuff all around our house. It's crazy. That's a little bit of a burden for Nancy and for me for the most part. Our spouse has relationship, whether it's in-laws or who are those people. What are the relational load or drain on your spouse? Who are their people, and what is it bringing into their life? Because we can kind of laugh about those things, but in reality, they're real. It's a drain. It's a load on them. The third one is this. We have an emotional load. Now, this one's a little bit more abstract, so track with me. This is our baggage. This is the woundedness from childhood. This is the woundedness from last week. This is our hurts. This is our hang-ups. This is the sinful part of us. This is the part that, you know, maybe this is the temper. You know, maybe for some of you it's a temper, or that people get passive, that there's a relational and emotional load. That there's emotion that weighs down on us and weighs down on them throughout their week. What is that for them? What is their woundedness? What is the part of them that hurts because of the past? What are those things that weigh on them? And the last one is just the physical load. That we have a physical load. You're married to somebody that's got a body, unfortunately, that's got limitations on it, that just gets tired. What is the point of break for them? When are they exhausted? What point of the day are they tired? What point do they just need a break? At what point, what makes them tired? What drains them? Because when you and I, when we get this right, when we start thinking about it in terms of going, they have a load, and we start to say, it is our responsibility to carry it. In fact, you won't be really shocked when you hear me say that in the Bible it says exactly what we're saying here tonight. It's in Galatians 6:2. It says this. It says, carry each other's burdens, And in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. Okay, carry each other's burdens. If we were to stop there, that sounds, you know, that's neat. That's a plaque. That's something, a sticker for us to think of. But when it goes further and it goes on, it says, and in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. That's a big deal. God's making a huge statement here through Paul to go, when we're carrying each other's burdens, we're fulfilling what Christ wants for us. Because here's what my temptation is this. You see, I'm always thinking about my load. And I got a bigger one than she does. I got a big old load in my mind. This is what I think about all the time. And it's so my tendency is to think and to focus on what it is that I have to deal with and what I have to contend with. And he says, if we focus here and not here, we are fulfilling the law of Christ. Think of those. Fulfilling, complete. Law of Christ. Three huge things that carrying their burdens means that much. And you know what? It seems pretty simple, doesn't it? It seems like something we would know intuitively, relationally, and we do. Then why is it? Why in the world is it that we stop? Why in the world is it that we find ourselves going, they'll do it. Oh, they'll figure it out. What makes that happen? What's that dynamic? For us to understand this, you've got to understand the context of this passage. This letter was written to a group of believers, and here's what they were doing. Yes, they had accepted Christ, but they had drifted back to their Jewish customs. They were following all the Jewish laws. They were going all, through all the ceremonies, all the traditions, circumcision, how you doing? Yeah, they're going back to this place. Why would you go back there? They're going back to this place because it had become a habit for them to just focus on them and all the things that they had to do. They come from a culture that if I can just be good enough, if I can just do enough, then I'll connect to God. And this passage is going, time out, stop. It doesn't work like that anymore. And I'm writing you a letter to let you know that it does not. And he's finishing out the letter with this. He says, this is the law that I want you to fulfill. Carrying each other's burdens. Caring, diving in there, being a part of. Being a part of going into this. And because here's the thing, is when something happens relationally, when we do. I mean, let's be honest. When you think you have to unload the dishwasher, and you get there and it's empty, there's something spiritual that happens, isn't there? It's crazy, isn't it? You think all those jobs. I had a buddy was talking about this the other day, and he said, man, I think you're right. These things are so important. He said, I was working hard 1 week, and I was been out of town all week, and I thought, oh, now I've got to do the lawn when I got there. And when he got there, his wife had it done. And he goes, and it wasn't about the lawn. It was about the fact that she knew what was on me, and she did something about it. It did something connected that if we don't get this right, that it's a level of intimacy and a level of connection that we just can't have. But here's what I do, and here's what these folks tend to do, and I would say, dare say a lot of us in this room. He goes on to say this. He said, if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. If anyone thinks that he's connecting to God because he's contending with and doing all this, he's really deceiving himself. God does not work that way. That's why he never worked at the beginning, and God sent Christ so that it wouldn't have to work, because it's just not going to. There's a different system. There's a complexity here, then there's a simplicity here that says don't focus here. You focus right here. He goes on to say this. He said, each one should test his own actions. And that's all we're doing tonight, is testing our action, asking a question. Are you carrying your spouse's burdens? Are you carrying your spouse's burdens? And this is where it gets rich for me. It says, then he could take pride in himself. And this isn't the prideful, boastful thing we think of. Then he can know in his heart of hearts, he can rejoice, is how it's translated. Without comparing himself to somebody else. And then this is when it hit me. This is what I thought. Working with couples and being a couple, I saw it. It hit me to go, you know what we tend to do? Instead of carrying our spouse's burden, we tend to compare our own burdens. We think about all that we've got to do in comparison, in contrast to the other people that work around us, to other people. We think about all the things that we've got to do, all these responsibilities, all the things, all the relationships, all the workloads, and we start comparing. And what happens, and when it gets really dangerous, is when couples start comparing their load with each other, and they say things like, you have no idea what I do all day, do you? You think it's hard being at work? You ought to stay home with the kids. You think it's hard to stay home with the kids? You ought to be at work. You think your boss is tough? You ought to work with my boss. And there's these things that go back and forth, and this is exactly what happens when people are fighting, isn't it? All they're doing is comparing how I'm so good this way. And yeah, I've got some things under there, but the baseball, I'm good, and you're bad this way. And they go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And I've watched so many couples that they get in this cycle of comparing and comparing, and I'm good, and you're not, and I'm good, and you're this way. And they compare, and it goes in this circle until finally one of them or both goes, I quit. But there is a different way, and he's saying, don't compare your load. Don't compare yours with the world around you. Am I doing good enough? He said, no, I sent Christ. I sent a different way. So all you can do is focus on their loads. When it comes to their burden, what's our responsibility? It's to carry their load, not compare our load. And what happens? I got the Bible upside down. I got so excited. Skip down a few verses, and it says this in 8. It says, the one who sows to please the sinful nature, from that nature, from himself, basically, will reap destruction. Think how destructive it is to tell your spouse that your day is harder than their day, because what you're saying is your day is more important than their day. It's so destructive when we keep comparing. And that's when we turn into roommates, and that's when we turn into fighters, and that's when we start to bicker, and that's when it starts to go. It's when we compare. But when we carry, and here's the good news, but the one who sows to please the Spirit, sows to please God, from the Spirit, from God, will reap eternal life. Now, if you've been around for a while, you've heard us talk about the six essentials. And the one we're talking about tonight is this thing of finish together. That we're going to finish together. And people cannot finish together, or they will go toward a place, or their marriage will be postured in a way for failure, and they will be postured in a way for destruction. If they're comparing, but if they're carrying each other's burden, that your spouse looks at you and sees you, that's my place of refuge right there. That person right there, they love me no matter what's going on with me. That's my place of refuge right there. If I need help, they've got my back. Because here's the deal. If our spouse's loads are going to be lightened during the week or in the moment, guess who it's going to be? It's going to be us. If they're going to have it, if their day or their low is going to be lightened, guess whose responsibility is? It's ours. We own that. We control that. And when we do, when we say, I'm going to be that person for you, the amount of intimacy and the amount of connection, I've been looking for words all week to describe what this is. This verse describes it as eternal. You will sow things eternal. What says eternal more than finished together? That something happens when we dive into this and we say, you know what? I know you're hurting. I know there's some things going on with you. And I'm going to help you carry it. There's some things, there's some practical things that we can do. One of the first things that, you know, I want to throw a couple of these up on the screen just to make it very practical for us. What are some things we can do? Number one is this. Is listen. We have a saying at our house when Nancy's talking about something bad going on in her life or something during the day. I'll say, do you want me to fix it or to feel it? Ladies, what percent of the time does she say feel it? 95% at least. But she needs me to listen. She needs me to listen. How do you carry this burden? You say, I can't go to their job and fix their job. I can't do that proposal for them. But you know what? You can listen. And they know that when they talk, that all of a sudden, their focus, your focus, is there. It's so powerful to listen. The second thing is this, is to ask. We need to ask questions. What can I do today to make your load lighter? What can I do today to make your day better? Ask the questions, dive in. I mean, that's a powerful question to ask. What can I do today to make your day better? I'm seeing some of you snuggle up because you know you ask this question a lot. You ask the question, how can I make your day better? The other thing, the third thing, is acknowledge. Just to acknowledge what's going on. I said to Nancy, she does kid stuff here at church, and I had to get the kids ready for church. And they're 7, 5, and 2. We get to go to heaven for sure now, by the way. But I'm getting them ready, and it's just like psychotic. It's crazy. So I get to church, and if I had a hair, it had been all ruffled. And we get here, and Nancy goes, "How was it?" And I say, "It's really hard to be you." And I thought as it came out of my mouth, "Oh, it's just like saying, oh, it really stinks to be you." She looks at me, she goes, "That's the sweetest thing you've ever said." Nice. "It stinks to be you. It's awful," you know. Why? It was just acknowledging, not fixing, just acknowledging how much, how difficult it is for her to be with her kids all the time. She needs me to acknowledge it. And the last one is this, is act. That we've got to dive in there and we've got to act. We've got to do things. We've got to, you know, I'm convinced if people would walk around their house with this mentality of, you know what, I'm going to walk away with them, around with the mentality of one less thing. If I do this, it'll be one less thing that she'll have to do. If I do this, this will be one less thing that he'll have to do. That's powerful. It's powerful. We know how it is. It just takes little things. When we first got married, I would drive to church before she would, and we would have to go through the toll booth, and she would meet me there later. So one Sunday morning, I put a quarter on her top of her steering wheel. You know, we'd been married, I don't know, 6 months. She gets to church, and she gives me that look across the room at the youth room that I was working in at the time. I thought, we really are newlywed. She wants me at church. This is awesome. And she's looking. She comes over. "You are the sweetest thing I've ever seen." I'm like, "What have I done? What are you talking?" She goes, "You put a quarter on there, and I was going to have to stop at the store." And you're going, "Wait a minute. It's some little bitty, tiny, tiny thing. One little bitty act, and I can't get it out of here. One little bitty thing that had this ability to connect." And here we are, the two of us, 14 years later. And I just got to tell you, she has illustrated this so much in my life this year that I can't even say. Almost exactly a year ago, I get a phone call in the middle of the night that my aunt, who had raised me after my mom died when I was 9, had been life flighted to a special hospital in Tennessee because she got this infection. She was having multiple organ failure. She was 49 years old, worked out every day of her life. I was floored. I get in my car. I drive as fast as I can, illegal, by the way, and I'm to get up there. 36 hours later, a doctor walks in and said, "We lost her." And I want to tell you something. I thought losing my mom was tough. I had my mom for 9 years. I had her for 37. It broke my heart. And this is going to come as a shocker, but I'm a crier. And I have cried and I have cried and I have cried and cried. And can I tell you what my wife's done? And she's already left tonight because we found our little girl just knocked her arm out of place, some nurse's elbow, something, you know, touche with all this stuff. So she's left, but I can say this. She has embraced me and she has loved me through this. You know what she's done? She's pat me on the chest and she said, "Oh, your heart. Oh, your heart." Because she thinks and she feels, how is my heart going to survive this again? And she'll say this. She'll say, "It's just so crazy. It's just so crazy. I just can't believe it happened." She has acknowledged the two things that I think about all the time. It's, can my heart take this again? And for her to come in and say, "It's just so crazy," that surreal thing of, "I can't believe that this has happened." She's acknowledged that. And I don't know how to explain this. And I didn't want to share it because it's so us. But I just had to get this principle across that when we carry each other's burdens, and a lot of times, guys, we can't take them away for sure. But man, we've got this intimate, phenomenal opportunity to be a part, to dive into this. And when we do, again, I don't have the words, the level of intimacy goes out the roof. It sounds little. It sounds like little things. It's the hard things for them. It's ironically the best place to connect. Right now we want to do something at your tables, but don't do it until I get through explaining it if you can. I'm going to ask you to fill out a card that's on your table that says, "What's in your wagon?" And I want you all by yourself, not as a couple, I want you to fill it out, and then I want you to put it back in the card, and I want you to seal it up, and I want you to hand it to your spouse. But spouses, hear this. I don't want you to look at it until you're by yourself, because here's the thing. In that envelope is going to be something powerful. It's going to be powerful to start a fight. That you open it up and, oh, it's going to be so, you're going to feel that comparative nature come out, that competitive nature come out. or you're going to open up and you're going to see this is a place I can carry. I can make this about carrying her burden, or I can make this about comparing my own. We're going to let your spouse fill that out, put it in the envelope, seal it up, and then don't just slide it up and trade it. But I don't want you to look at it until you're by yourself. I'm going to come back in just a little bit, and we're going to wrap up. But right now, once you take a little bit of time to do that, the cards are on your table. They're little envelopes that say, what's in your wagon? Let me pray for you. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for the men and women in this room that in a crazy world, a crazy schedule, has made the time to be here tonight, God, and we are honored and thankful for that. And God, we just pray that everyone would just not walk out of here tonight entertained, but that there would be at least a little bit of life change, God, a little bit of encouragement, a little bit of excitement to go home and to love their spouse and to serve their spouse and to carry whatever it is that's hard for their spouse. God, thank you that you're so directive with us on what you want us to do, that you're so clear in your word about what you want us to do when it comes to issues and different things, God, and you are so clear when it comes to what's weighing on our spouse, what you wanted us to do. You wanted us to be a part of it, to carry it. And then when we did, it just would reap phenomenal, phenomenal results. God, thanks again for loving us. Thanks for every man and woman in this room, God. And we just pray you would protect their marriage and you would do incredible things with it this week. I pray it in the name of Jesus. Amen.